I have something kind of personal that I want to share with you today. I feel kind of shy about it, but we've kind of known each other for a while, so I'll just go ahead and tell you. I think you can handle it. Are you ready? I love ballroom dancing. I do. I am kind of shy about it. And I know that I've previously shared with you in a previous sermon that I also love square dancing, which is part of the quirkiness of being a Texan that I carry with me. I also love ballroom dancing. I've been known to watch YouTube videos of Dancing with the Stars and review them like a football coach seeing last week's game footage. Did you see that footwork? I first tried a few different types of swing and ballroom dancing with a few friends in seminary. I'm not particularly good, but I enjoy it. And there's nothing more elegant than a well-executed waltz. There is nothing more seductive than a well-executed tango. The power of dance is sharing a story by showing rather than telling. The story of tango is often one partner pursuing the other and the other partner flirtatiously resisting with flirty eyelashes, and they banter and flirt back and forth. This showing rather than telling and pursuing and resisting is at the heart of today's story from Exodus. Recall earlier in this narrative that baby Moses is put in a basket in the Nile with a hope and a prayer from his mother Jochebed and his sister Miriam during a time of Hebrew or Israelite, I'm going to use those terms interchangeably, during a time of slavery and infanticide in Egypt. If you've seen the animated movie, The Prince of Egypt, recall the opening scene panning between the slaves suffering and Jochebed's running in and out of shadowy alleys with baby Moses. The song gives me chills every time. Deliver Us by Stephen Schwartz. The Hebrew men struggle in the heat, shouting mud, sand, water, straw. The Egyptian slave master shouts faster. Mud and lift, sand and pull, water and raise up, straw, faster, going back and forth. The song continues. With the sting of the whip on my shoulder, with the salt of my sweat on my brow, Elohim, God on high, can you hear your people cry? Deliver us, hear our call, deliver us, Lord of all, remember us here in this burning sand. Deliver us, hear our prayer, deliver us from despair. These years of slavery grow too cruel to stand. Deliver us. Send a shepherd to shepherd us and deliver us to the promised land. It's no wonder that this passage from Exodus and the larger narrative of dying slaves becoming free from their cruel slave masters intimately connects with African Americans and Black liberation theology in particular. In addition to, and in historically somewhat different ways, Latin American liberation theology, Palestinian liberation theology, queer liberation theology, and even others. Individuals in these groups have long cried out, "How long, O Lord? Deliver us." An important form of resistance and storytelling for Black slaves in America was through song. It's no coincidence that Harriet Tubman's nickname or code name was Moses. Legend has it that she would sing "Go Down, Moses" at different tempos as a code to indicate if it was safe or dangerous for slaves seeking freedom to proceed on the Underground Railroad. Zan?
In Egypt's land, let my people go.
Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go.
Best to leave it to the professionals to sing sometimes. Thank you, Zan. Dance, in addition to song, has historically been a form of resistance for members of the larger African diaspora. In fact, tango has both African and European roots. Some scholars see tango as an evolution of candombe, a ceremony performed by former slaves. The word tango used to refer to gatherings of slaves in Argentina that included music and dancing. Naturally, the colonial authorities attempted to shut down and ban these types of gatherings in the late 1700s. Recognizing the danger of people gathering together, resisting through art and community. There is power in pursuing, resisting, and coming together. As the Hebrew slaves continue to cry out, Moses is drawn into God's presence after fleeing Egypt. He's drawn into that divine presence described as a fire that does not consume. Moses and God tango, pursuing and resisting, about God calling Moses to return to Egypt in order to pursue Pharaoh with full expectation that Pharaoh will resist releasing the Hebrews from slavery. Spoiler alert, Pharaoh does resist. And after a showdown, or tango, if you will, with Pharaoh's high priest, the text attributes 10 plagues to the power of God. This is a not so gentle reminder of the God of the Hebrews as supreme, as the God who created and continues to create. Each year during Passover Seder, that sacred meal our Jewish friends observe during the spring festival of Passover, their liturgy invites all participants to dip a finger in a cup of wine or grape juice and release a drop as each of the plagues is recounted. Blood, frogs, lice or gnats, flies, diseased livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, killing of the firstborn. In contemporary Haggadim or Passover liturgy, contemporary plagues are often lamented. We know them well, don't we? Warfare, xenophobia, sizism, AIDS, the prison industrial complex, hurricanes and earthquakes, white supremacy, elitist models of healthcare, rape culture, colonialism, and the list goes on. It's not until we recognize trauma for what it is, until we count our traumas, that we can be healed. It is not until we see and touch our individual and collective traumas that we can pull them close and tango with them, pursuing and resisting. In ASL, the sign for trauma is like a scratch on one's forehead, like this. Try it. Don't scratch yourself, just try it. There you go. It's kind of like J.K. Rowling's character Harry Potter, who bore a lightning bolt scar on his forehead as a sign of the trauma he survived as a baby. When you look in the mirror, you may or may not see your scars. When you look at people around you, you may or may not see their scars. This doesn't mean the scars aren't there. We all have wounds and scars. Some are deeper or more intensively impacting. And I invite you to count your scars, to count your wounds, so that you may be made free of them. This may require beginning or continuing to see a licensed professional counselor. This may require naming something that happened to you in your past that you've never named before. This may require forgiving a deceased person and trusting there is peace between y'all. This may require an overhauled image of who God is to you. It's time to tango with wounds and trauma, pursuing healing and resisting avoidance. Unresolved trauma magnifies the trauma like an infected, festering wound. Where can you find your stitches and Neosporin? Maybe even a mental or spiritual surgery. I do believe that God is our great healer, and as the Hebrews cried out to God, they put faith in healing from the divine source. I also believe that sometimes the divine healing even comes from other people, such as how we see Moses, Aaron, and Miriam leading by divine guidance. As the Hebrews are released and finally make their way out of Egypt, approaching the Red Sea or Sea of Reeds, depending on how it's translated, the text says an angel of God went before and behind the Israelites, surrounding them like a cloud. 14:21. Moses stretched out his hand, and the Lord drove back the sea, creating dry ground. As they crossed, the Egyptians followed them. The text says, the sea returned to its normal depth, and the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. Can you imagine looking over your shoulder and seeing mass slaughter? Hearing the screams of your oppressor like they used to hear your screams? Perhaps some of you don't need to imagine that. But many of us do need to use imagination. What did the Hebrews do? They rejoiced when they saw another person suffering. I am perhaps of the unpopular opinion that this rejoicing and celebrating in the presence of the enemy's genocide offered the Hebrews temporary relief, but compounded their trauma in the long run. They no longer tangoed, intense pursuing and resisting. They celebrated destruction. It is tempting for us, survivors of varying levels and experiences of trauma, to do the same. To recite different Psalms of David, "Vengeance is the Lord's and victory is mine," without recognizing that someone else near you or around the world may be praying the same text, hoping for your demise and destruction. In our tangoing, we pursue God's justice and resisting human injustice. Sometimes we take the wrong posture. A hallmark of tango is embrace. Open embrace, where the lead and the follow have some space between their bodies, or close embrace, where the lead and follow connect chest to chest, such as an Argentine tango, or connect upper thigh or hip area, such as an international tango. Tango, pursuing and resisting, requires some type of embrace. There is a teaching from the Talmud, the rabbinical teachings, that goes like this. The rabbi asks his students, "How do we know when the night is over and the day has arrived?" The students, being very clever, answer, "Rabbi, night is over and day arrives when the only star seen is the sun." No, says the rabbi. Another student responds, night is over and day arrives when you can see an animal in the field and determine if it belongs to you or your neighbor. No, says the rabbi. Night is over and day arrives when you can look in the face of the person beside you and you can see that they are your sibling. Night is over when you can see that you belong to each other, that you are one. Night has ended and day has arrived when you can see God in the face of the other. This is radical good news, that we are called to not only wholeness for ourselves, but even restoration, justice, and wholeness for those individuals and systems who inflict trauma. This shift in posture makes God's shalom, completeness of peace, possible. A contemporary Haggadah, Passover liturgy for Seder, produced by the women's program of the Jewish Community Center of the Upper West Side in Manhattan, says this. As we ate our paschal lambs that last night in Egypt, the darkness was pierced with screams. Our doorposts were protected by a sign of blood. But from the windows of the Egyptians rose an anguished cry, the death of the firstborn. Yah Shekinah, an appeal to God using a term associated with God's feminine side, soften our hearts and the hearts of our enemies. Help us to dream new paths to freedom, so that the next sea opening is not also a drowning, so that our singing is never again their wailing, so that our freedom leaves no one orphaned, childless, gasping for air. Perhaps the Hebrews just couldn't help themselves. They suffered tremendously and for so long with waning faith, with each drop of sweat under the desert sun, doing back-breaking labor, their faith in God, the decency of humanity, deteriorated along with their strength. I don't blame them for dancing and celebrating. They were free. I might do the same. I get it. Allow me to close with this story. On June 14, 2016, I attended my first queer-friendly dance class, sponsored by GLOW, which is the LGBTQ subcommunity of the DC Jewish Community Center. Recall that the Pulse shootings in Orlando, Florida, that happened in the wee hours of June 12th, 2016. The mood in the room of the rainbow community gathered was awkward and quiet. We were there to set aside gender roles, everyone learning to dance by leading and following. And we were there to have fun. Maybe some people were there to pick up a date. The last thing we felt like doing was dancing, though. It even felt disrespectful to be dancing at a time of so much suffering in our community and around the world. And I'll never forget the class opening with greeting remarks from the director of GLOW. Sharing a traditional Jewish teaching, she said, when we hurt, we pray. When we are distraught, we sing. And when we are devastated beyond imagination, we dance. Calvary, wherever life has brought us, wherever life leads us, may we continue to pray and sing and dance, pursuing and resisting and coming together. Amen.